now, the life of Mary Sutton. The flames sweep hungrily through C block of the state prison where Max Sanders, Mary's beloved husband, has been imprisoned. Driven wild by fear, Mary made an attempt to enter the blazing inferno to search for Max, but was snatched back in time by Dr. John Benson. Revived by Dr. Tracy, prison surgeon, Mary asserts her belief that Max is alive. So strong is her belief that Max will return to her, Mary is asked to be of any help she can to Dr. Tracy and Dr. Benson. Touched by her inspired faith, Dr. Tracy sends her to console the sorrowing wives and mothers of the other prisoners, many of whom have not yet been found. Dr. Benson has discovered that Max and Cheney, his pal, had led a committee to ask for better food in the prison mess hall. Angered by their request, the warden now declares that Max and Cheney have been troublemakers for some time, and as soon as Max and Cheney are found, he intends to prefer charges against them for having set fire to state prison. It is just a few moments later. Dr. John Benson and Dr. Tracy are busy at work, tending the injured prisoner. Dr. Benson still finds it hard to believe that the warden would dare accuse Max and Cheney of such a deed.
Dr. Tracy, I've got to get Max Sanders back here, alive. I've got to know the truth of this whole mess.
I don't think Sanders really had anything to do with the fire, do you?
Oh, of course not. If they're going to try to pin that on Max, I want to do all I can to stop their rotten little game.
So do I, Dr. Benson. So do I. And when the time comes, I'll tell my little story if I have to, even if it means my job. Gotta stop this kind of thing soon.
Dr. Tracy, just what do you know about this warden Bullard?
Only this. I don't think his name's Bullard at all.
What?
And I've got a hunch it's an assumed name. Why? I'll tell you that later.
When did you get this hunch?
Oh, not long ago. It annoyed me to think such a rotter could have a fine old name like Bullard. Then two or three little things happened. No need to go into details just now. But I'll bet my hope of heaven that this warden is not what he calls himself.
Thanks, Dr. Tracy. Now we've got something to go on.
But not enough, I'm afraid. This Bullard got this job through political pull somehow. It'd be hard to bring anything definite against him.
We'll see about that. But if Max Sanders dies in that fire, and the warden accuses him of having started the fire in revenge or as a screen for an escape, then Mary, Max's wife, will have to face the world which brands her husband as the most despicable type of criminal, an arsonist, a firebug.
Yes, you're right. Now, look, Doc. I'm with you all the way. I'll do everything I can to help clear Max Sanders' name.
Well, there's more to it than just clearing his name, Dr. Tracy. You see, Mary holds a controlling stock in Sanders' interests.
Sanders' interests?
A real estate and factory set up in our hometown. You might call it a coalition of capital and labor to set the town on its feet.
I see. Good stuff. Go right ahead, Dr. Benson, while I bandage this lad's hand.
Well, you see, Mary is holding this stock for Max against the time he's completed his sentence of a year and a day.
Sort of nest egg. New start in life and all that, eh?
Exactly. It so happens that one Gerald Proust, another stockholder, wants to get possession of Mary's stock so that he can rule Sanders' interests. His wife has social ambitions. Thinks money and power will buy her way into town society.
There you are. Yes, I know the type, Doctor. Buys her husband a drink or stealing.
Yeah, but even without his wife's ambition, Gerald Proust is a pretty slick customer. He even tried to threaten my position as head of the children's clinic unless I withdraw my support of Mary during her husband's absence from prison.
Crude, very crude. That's so it always is. Oh, a nurse. A little more of that gauze, please.
And now, if Max is accused of setting a prison afire to escape, Proust naturally will say that Mary no longer has reason to hold on to her stock. When a wife of such a criminal is no fit person to help direct the town's future.
I don't think I'd like you, Mr. Gerald Proust. But he can't touch you at the clinic, can he?
Oh, he could throw his weight around, I suppose, but I've got a straight record at the clinic.
I'd call it a splendid record, Dr. Benson. I've heard of your work with those youngsters. First-rate job.
Thanks, Doctor. Now you see why I must get Max out of there alive.
Yes, but you can't do it alone. Your place is here, taking care of these men. Firemen are doing all they can now. Let's stay out of their way.
Here, let me give you a hand with that chap. Shall we turn him on his left side?
Right. Leaves a strain on the tissues of his back.
There you are, old man. You rest easier now.
Yes, Peter. Oh, Doctor, here it comes. Five stretchers. Nurse, get Dr. Benson a sterile gown. Now, quick, that's a good girl.
Fire captain with him. Must be from the other side of the prison.
Sit him down over there along the wall, boys. We'll take him in turn.
Oh, Captain.
What can I do for you, Doc?
The fire. What's happening in C block, I mean?
Doc, I tell you, I've been fighting fires 20 years, and I never hoped to see...
Yes, I understand. But those five men in C block, what about them?
Two of them burned to death. No use bringing them in here. Two of them are still inside.
Hmm.
We almost got to them, but we couldn't get a hose around that angle in the yard. Why, even the front bricks are crumbling.
All right, man, that's fine. What about that truck full of gasoline? Did you get that out of the way?
Doc, I tell you, I don't see why that car hasn't busted all to pieces before now. It's inside a ring of flames, and the building's burning all around it. And it's right beneath the windows of C block.
Hmm.
Unless they get those men out of there before that truck blows up, you'll never find them again. Well, me and the boys will do our best, Doc, but we ain't promising we'll get those prisoners out in time.
Captain, we know that there were five men in that last corner of C block. You've accounted for only four of them. Where's that fifth man, Captain Baxter?
Yes, Doc, we brought him in. He's over there against the wall with the others.
Let me see him.
How do you get this chap out of C block? Thought you said you couldn't go in after him.
That's just it. We didn't. This fifth guy in C block takes a chance when the bars heat up. He bends one of them to one side and slips through. We found him wandering in the yard. He must have climbed the wall through all that smoke. He kept mumbling, gotta get out of here, gotta get out of here. Trying to escape, I guess. I don't blame him.
Oh, thanks, Captain Baxter. Good luck.
Thanks, Doc. Fire'd be all over. We could just clear out that C block somehow. I hate to think of those men in there like that.
Craney. Speak to me, old man. Where's Mac?
Now, just a minute, Dr. Benson. Give him a whiff of this aromatic.
There now, Cheney, my lad. Breathe deeply. That's a good boy. Now again. And again. Good and deep this time. Now again. Again.
She's coming around. Takes a lot to do in his sort. Plenty of sand there. His eyes are opening. I'll have a tourniquet on this arm that's jiffy. Lost a lot of blood.
Hmm.
Arm smashed. A miracle he got this far. Dr. Benson.
Yes, Cheney. I'm right here. We'll take care of you.
Doc, I gotta talk fast. Maybe my chips are being called in, so let me say it all at once. I left Max in C block 7. Then Swede Larson. Just a half an hour ago.
Well, how...
Now let me finish, Doc. Max is okay. There's not a scratch. Fire's all around him. I got out of me, Doc. What's a wise guy? What's a wise guy?
He's fainting, Dr. Benson. A nurse, hand the doctor that spirit of ammonia.
Come on, Jenny. Let's hear it. Max, you were saying about Max. Jenny, please, for Mary's sake.
Mary. Grand girl, Max said, not to worry, he'll come back okay.
He's sinking very fast, Dr. Benson. You have to give him a transfusion right away.
It's my blood type. I'm group 4.
Now, we'll see. Nurse, look up Cheney. Number 7083 in those files. I had the warden transfer all the medical records to his house here, just in case. Saves time we take doing blood tests.
Splendid. Well, Dr. Tracy, we can at least tell Mary that her husband was alive and uninjured to the last report.
Yes, but it's a fool's paradise, Dr. Benson. A lot can happen in 40 minutes now. Oh, thank you, nurse. Prepare for a transfusion immediately. Let's see. Oh, confound it. Cheney's a type 3 blood group. You're 4, and so am I.
Hmm.
Well, I guess. Hold on.
Yes?
Mrs. Sanders test typed her as group 3. Shall we call her, Dr. Benson?
Oh, I'm sure she'd want you to.
Bring Mrs. Sanders in, nurse. We'll start the transfusion immediately. Now, I'll test Cheney's blood with hers for a final fusion checkup. We better get this arm here patched up a little.
Open your hand, Cheney. Come on. It won't hurt.
Doc, keep it. Texas. Cool.
All right. Well, what's this in his hand?
Hmm?
What? A piece of celluloid. Why, I think this is one of the knife handles they make here in the prison. They kept them outside for blades.
But celluloid in a prison? One of the most inflammable substances in existence.
Nexus. Tell the doc. Warden stored 500 pounds. More storage.
Dr. Benson, hold on to this piece of celluloid.
Yeah.
Don't let it get away from you. Warden Bullard stored 500 pounds of that celluloid against my warning in an unprotected storeroom next to the cell block.
Good Lord.
Dr. Benson, the warden has been grossly negligent. He alone has caused the death of 7 men tonight.
Warden Bullard, after you face those seven accusing phantoms, seven lives snuffed out because of you, perhaps more to die, will Max Sanders be one, Warden Bullard?